You know, I don't know why, but I just really love that little jingle in the beginning there, in the end. I mean, I paid good money for that jingle, like $50, so I might as well use and abuse it, but I dig it. It gets me going every time. Welcome back to the Sixth Gear. I'm Tom Musgrave, and this past weekend I got a chance to drive down to Maryville, Tennessee. There's a road down there that's pretty well known across America, actually. It's called the Tail of the Dragon. And the event that I was fortunate enough to attend was called the Emvading the Dragon. And it was a 100 BMWs, mostly M cars. I took the M2 down, and my buddy Jay came down with me with his E92 Melbourne Red M3. We ripped down there, took about 9 hours. It was 10 hours. We stopped for a nice little romantic dinner at a nice southern hotel bar and had a couple steaks. But got down there, stayed in a nice little Airbnb, and ripped up those roads Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what a great time. And the last day, I had a chance to link up with Josh Vandergriff. He is the organizer of the event. Great dude, very down to earth. He runs a few different events down there that I learned while I was down there. He does a Lotus event, a Porsche event. This BMW event now is pretty new. I think this was only the second year that he's done the Emvading. But also does an event called Smoky Mountain Drives. And Smoky Mountain Drives is open to any type of car at all. So, I mean, whatever you're into, it is well worth the trip down there. It is I can't say, it's beautiful down there. I mean, the scenery, the tight turns, the focus that you really need to have on this event, you know, with Josh leading the packs, it was unbelievable. And there's no doubt in my mind I will be back, hopefully next time with a Porsche. I mean, here's putting that vibe out there, you know, manifestation. Yes, I need to manifest that I will have a Porsche the next time I go. And so here's the interview with Josh. Like I said, great dude. The audio quality is not the best, not the worst. I mean, we were standing outside in the rain. There's some thunder. There's some cars going by. At one point, some dude in a Harley fires it up and then sits there idles for 2 minutes, like 6 minutes into the interview. So apologize for that, but there's not a whole lot I can do. Take it or leave it, okay? If you don't like it, turn it off. But make sure you hit the follow button first. That's fine. So without further ado, here is Josh and I down at Emvading at 129 Hub. All right. I'm here with Josh Vandergriff.
Yes.
We are at Emvading the Dragon. This was day three, final day. Little rain today, but honestly, this was one of the most fun. This is definitely one of the most fun times I've had behind the wheel. Awesome. I mean, this weekend was great, dude.
Yeah, good to hear.
So just tell me a little bit about like the event. How long you been doing it?
2018. So this and the Ren Sport Dragon Rally, my Porsche only event, I started those both. These were my first two events in 2018. So being local to the area, this is what we used to do for fun on the weekends. As you saw on the drive, in the mountains, we've got lakes everywhere. We passed water.
The scenery here add to the driving plus the scenery.
Yes.
I mean, awesome time.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
So what we do here on the weekends is either hang out on the lake, you know, wake surfing or just hanging out drinking.
Yeah.
Or we come up here and drive.
Yeah.
And because this is, it's like an amusement park for car guys up here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these mountain roads. So me and my group of really, really close friends were all in Porsches and BMWs.
Sure.
And we would come up here and they already had some events, but they were like a Mini Cooper event and the Miata event.
A lot of Miatas, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They do so well up here because the Dragon's like an autocross course.
Yeah,
where Miatas dominate.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but I, seeing those events and me coming up here with my buddies, I'm like, we need some events for some real cars. Yeah. So that's where I had the idea for doing a Porsche, because I had a 335i at the time and a 996.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm going to do a Porsche event and a BMW event. And so both of those started in 2018.
Perfect. And you started that as like a side gig?
Yeah, just I wanted a write-off for all my brakes and tires that I go through.
Oh, perfect.
So I was like, hey, it's something that I can do on the side and use that as a write-off for a few years to pay for all these tires.
Yeah.
So...
hey, I get it, man. The podcast is just a reason for me to do more car shit.
Exactly. Honestly. Exactly. Yeah. So totally get it. And then I had 12 Porsches show up to the first event, and I had one BMW show up to the first event.
Just one?
Just one.
For $100?
Well, I think it was probably even cheaper that first time, where it was until you get the people... drawn in.
Well, you got to grow your crowd.
You've got to have it. So it's like you almost gave it away.
Yeah.
You know, just to get people to, hey, trust what I'm doing. I know these roads. You know, I grew up here.
Yeah.
So people will make these trips. You know, hey, I'm going to go to the Dragon, and they're coming from Pennsylvania or Florida or whatever. And
yeah, how many states were here?
21.
21 states.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. So New Hampshire, California, had that group from Texas.
Angel was from Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. We have more people come from Florida, it seems like, than any other state, because the roads are just not so boring there.
Yeah, right.
And you have a huge car culture, but with some boring roads.
Sure, right.
So and then with the being in the mountains, we go to the beach when it's our vacation time.
Yeah.
And then the Florida people, they come to the mountains. Yeah, right. You know, so,
that's cool.
So it works out. But yeah. Yeah, those started 2018, and you know, have
and now, know, now it's your full-time gig.
Now it's my full-time gig. I finally left the day job after 14 years in November to focus on this full-time. I should have left a couple years ago because the way this was going, but you know, just being able to take that leap.
Yeah, it's scary. You leave that stability, and okay, this is something new, but it's going really well, and send it, man. I love it.
So that's great. Those first two events started in 2018, and then by 2020, especially with COVID, all this blew up in 2020.
Because, I believe that.
Because
you can't do anything else.
You couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
So all these people who, hey, they had their family on their back, like, oh, you've got to stay home and social distance or some garbage like that. So that was their excuse. It's like, okay, I'm going to go social distance in the mountain.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
In the mountains. So
I'm all by myself in my own car.
For real, yeah. So that's where my Porsche event took off from like 70 cars to 200 cars, like bam,
awesome.
In 2020. And so it just went to another level. And then I had so many friends that saw what we were doing, and they owned a Lotus or a Corvette or, you know, something else. So they wanted to come join these events. And I'm like, well, these are, you know, brand specific.
Sure.
So I'll start an all-car event open to anything.
Yeah.
And that's where the Smoky Mountain Drives
came. Okay, so that's Smoky Mountain Drives.
So that's Smoky Mountain
anybody.
Drives. It's open to anything.
Okay.
So I do that now every month, March through November. It's capped at 50 cars. And I have, like, this past weekend was my Smoky Mountain Drives event. I had a McLaren 720S, a 765 Spider, and two Miatas. You know, so it's like you've got Mustangs and everything in between. We have more Porsches and Corvettes show up to those events than anything. Still have a lot of BMWs.
Yeah.
But it's a good mixture of cars. So like where these are cool to see all these cool BMWs or all these cool Porsches, that one's cool in its own way, where you've got a cool mixture.
Everybody's mixing in.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then from that, I've had a lot of Lotus show up, and I had one event of the 50 cars, 7 were Lotus. And then, so I always wanted an Elise with a buddy I used to do a lot of track days with, had a supercharged Elise, and I drove his on the track and fell in love with that.
Well, I feel like the Lotus is like a better Miata. You know what I mean?
And it is. Yeah. Yes. It's a mid-engined.
Right.
Yeah, Miata times 1,000.
Right. So it's here to show all the Miatas up. They all think they're badass on the track, and then the Lotus to show up. Yeah. They're like, oh, shit.
So it's the ultimate go-kart track car.
Yeah.
So then I had of the 50 cars I had at one event, seven were Lotus, and they're like, the Lotus dealership doesn't have seven cars. How do you have seven at this event?
Really?
So then I ended up buying an Elise and then had a Lotus-only event this year.
Yeah.
So I've got now...
So how many Lotuses came to the event?
It was the very first one. It was in May, and it was... less than 30 cars.
So oh, still it, decent yeah, turnout still, for Lotus.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not a lot of guys with Lotuses
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, exactly. And then I expanded my Porsche event when it really took off, I guess 19, even before 2020. They couldn't wait another year. I did it in June as well. It's always first of June. Okay. They're like, you've got to do a fall event. Yeah. We can't wait another year.
Yeah, right.
So that's where the fall one is now. That's the one to go to because of the changing of the leaves in the mountains.
It's everybody, be gorgeous.
It's, you know, it's beautiful. So everybody loves that event. So that one's been twice a year since 19. And then this year, by huge demand, I started an air-cooled Porsche version. So now in April, I have an air-cooled only. So we did our inaugural air-cooled Rennsport Dragon Rally this April.
Oh, super and then, cool.
So now I've got the Rennsport, I've got the Smoky Mountain Drives, I've got the Invading the Dragon, now Lotus versus the Dragon, and now I'm doing a lot of private car clubs that are contracting me to put on a specific event for their Facebook group.
Yeah.
So I've got a NC Stangs event I'm doing next month. I did a Chicago Corvettes group this month. I've done bachelor party drives.
Oh, and, that's genius. You know, that's awesome.
Like, I mean, they approach me about it, you know, like, hey, you know, the wife's going to go hang out with her friends, but, you know, it's one of my Porsche guys comes to my Porsche group and he's like, this is what I love to do. Yeah. I want you to do my bachelor party for me.
Yes.
And we just ran through the mountains for, you know, for 2 days.
That's so fun. And so all of his groomsmen were drivers at least or somewhat.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I'm like, that could go sour fast, especially if they're all drinking, they're all hungover.
Yeah. Luckily, they were more excited about driving than hanging out and partying.
Yeah,
and
drinking,
kind of stuff.
That's good.
And at the same time, the wife was excited that they were here instead
they're
of the strip
sober.
Club.
Right, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Right. So with the Smoky Mountain Drives, how do you categorize groups? Is it still just by skill? Or is it? Or is there...
We don't split up into groups like we do the larger ones because it's capped. That's why I cap it at 50 cars.
Okay.
And then I have several helpers within the group. So you never know the driving ability with, you know, within that group when it starts. So instead of having different groups, we have our helpers are kind of mingled in. So then
we can kind of keep an eye on
everybody. We can keep an eye on them. And we always advise start in the back if you're new to these roads, new to these cars, new to this event, and then kind of work your way forward. But we have great communication with the, you know, the handful of guys that help out and help herd these cats together.
All great dudes too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Everybody, honestly, this whole event was nothing but good people.
Yes.
Then, I mean, and BMW guys can go either way, man. There's a lot of guys.
There's a lot of stereotypes. Stereotypes are there for a reason.
I was just going to say they're there for a reason, man.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it was an awesome time. And I think, you know, so I started in group two and I was unsure about it, you know, because I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really get a lot of track time. I drive my car fast a lot, but hard to say, you know.
Yeah.
So I stuck us in group two. And honestly, I think it was perfect because we had a great time. We kept up no problem. Next year, I want to try group one.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
That's why we try to usually just allow veterans, people who've been before in a group one, so you know what you're getting into because it's usually backfired for the people who are like, I want to be in the fastest group
and that's
without,
just ego.
Without knowing
what
it's about because once you get here, it's on a different level. But like I mentioned in the event, there is a spot for someone in the group, you know,
no
for
doubt.
Everyone in the group. It's
no
just
doubt.
Finding that spot, whether you're in our, you know, second to last person in the slowest group or you're second to the front and the fastest.
Yep.
We've got a spot for everyone. It's just checking your ego and getting in where you fit in instead of your, you know, your ball's too big for your brain or whatever. And then you get yourself in
And then you're
trouble.
In trouble. Yeah, you're off the cliff.
Because these roads can bite you. Bite you real quick, and
there's not a lot of room for error in a lot of those roads, man.
Yes.
There's no time for a correction. If you make a mistake, it is too late.
Yes,
and a lot of time.
That's why it's not hesitant at all to tout that these are the greatest roads anywhere in America. This whole region. It's not the Tail of the Dragon. The Tail of the Dragon is what I promote for the events because that's the draw. That's what, you know, everybody around the world knows that. We had a German film crew I don't know if you saw that. I posted it on my Smoky Mountain Drives page. They came here to do a special on the Dragon and rode with us. And so it was on German TV, but they rode with us and did a special about the Dragon. It's like they've got great roads over in Germany, but no they did doubt, a special here.
They came here for that.
Came here for that.
And I feel like that's on my bucket list to go to Germany. Like,
do the Nürburgring and the Autobahn. And, yes.
That's on my bucket list. Yeah. But and it's crazy that those guys are coming here. Yes. And this is, you know, this was a 9-hour drive for us to get here.
Yeah.
But totally worth it.
It's not, that's the thing with coming with one of these groups or events versus just coming on your own to the Dragon. Because it is like, once you've done that 11 miles, you're like, well, let me Google and see what else is cool in the area, you know? Yeah. And then you don't know our, like, the unwritten rules, you know, that the stay in your lane at all costs. Yeah. That's how people get killed up here.
No doubt.
And you see these Idiots of the Dragon pages and Fail of the Dragon pages where people get crucified because they're crossing the double yellow.
As they should, honestly. Yeah, you know,
and they should. That's how people get hurt. But they don't know. They do that at home and think that flies here. That's okay here. And it doesn't. But that's where the organization and the driver's meeting that we have about safety and teaching those things. Plus, this whole region is covered in amazing roads where these country mountain back roads that a lot of people don't know about. If you just came on your own, you're going to come in and, okay, I did the Dragon. I'm going to do the Skyway, maybe the Foothills Parkway. What else do I do kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And then it's where we did almost 700 miles today. Amazing roads.
What was today? Devil's Triangle?
The Devil's Triangle.
Man, that was wild.
Yes.
That was wild.
Definitely one of my two, three favorites.
Yeah, that was an awesome, awesome ride. I mean, a little bit. There was definitely a little bit of shit in my drawer by the end of it. But I was happy to keep all four on the pavement. And, but what a great time.
Yes. It was a roller coaster. That's a roller coaster-ish.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's a ton of blind turns. And, I think it's awesome how you guys, like, really drill into everyone's head. Like, stay between the mustard and the mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. That's how people get seriously injured or killed, you know? And
it seems like there's an accident up here on the Dragon specifically. It's like there's an accident every day, it seems like. So it's a numbers game. You're going to have a couple idiots.
There's still going to be idiots. Yeah, always. There's idiots everywhere, you know, but you put them in this setting and they really come alive. Their idiocy just really has a light shining right on it,
So that's what the driver's meeting and the communication we do with the walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
So, it helps with safety and making the turns and keeping the groups together, but at the same time it helps, hey, call out that dummy who's acting like an idiot out here before he gets someone hurt and hurts our reputation as a group. So I've got a good reputation, luckily, in this area.
That's one of the things I want to ask you too, what I was going to say is I think that also the way that you guys do it, like, listen, we're going to call you out and we're going to make you look like a fucking idiot.
Yes.
And it's like, that, you know, because it's those same guys with big egos that are pushing those limits way too hard and crossing the yellow line, and they're afraid to be called out and to be made to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So they do a better job of actually staying on the other side of the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know when I, like, there was a couple of tight turns and I'm like, oh, I don't want to get this line. Everybody's going to call me out. They're going to, you know.
Yeah.
And it keeps you over there, man.
Yeah.
It definitely does. It helps a lot.
And that's where we hammer that stuff home in the meeting, and we'll call them out in the meeting, and they don't want to be that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You don't want to be the guy getting called out being on the other side of the mustard, man. You are a loser.
Yeah.
So as far as, like, your reputation around here, you know, you said you have a good reputation. Let me ask you, so what about, like, you know, because we have these Invading the Dragon tags on our windshields.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is awesome because it's just a huge group of...
It looks really cool.
It looks awesome, dude. It's so cool. But do you get any slack? Like, anybody busting your balls about that? Like, people calling, like, police or anything like that? Like,
that's why we try to be respectful. And when we go through these sections where it is residential, where you've got some mailboxes, you know, we try to tone it down.
Oh, we definitely did.
And then we're going to go through this section where, hey, you've got... you know, 7 miles with nothing, so you can hammer it in those sections.
Right.
So you just got to be smart about it. But that's where being part of a group and having local leadership who knows where we're going and what to do, what, when, makes a huge difference.
No doubt.
And like I said, it's a numbers game. You're going to have a couple idiots. So sometimes you're going to, you know, you may have somebody try to chime in on a Facebook, you know, post or join a Facebook group and like, you know, they say try to talk some smack or something like that.
Right,
but
right.
for the most part, we, you know, we're pretty well known as being well organized because there are some other groups that do somewhat similar stuff in the region, not necessarily this area, but are known for being like
assholes.
Yeah, and too reckless and stuff. And it's like, dang, I've got to really hammer this home because I don't want their reputation as a group to kind of bleed over into me because we're doing something similar-ish.
That's what I was going to ask you too. If there's just kind of like how the locals really feel about the tale.
Yeah.
You know, if they like, because I had a conversation with the lady that has our Airbnb.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told her what we were doing, why we were here. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of.
Yeah.
Oh, so locals don't really like the dragon. She's like, well, there's just a lot of accents. You know, there's a lot of people up there doing stupid stuff. And I'm
exactly.
Like,
So that does rub some locals wrong. Yeah. You know, yes, it brings Karens. A lot of. Yes, it does. It brings a lot of money in here. But then, yeah, because there's an accident up here every day.
Yeah.
There is. An event that we all the locals kind of make fun of that comes up here. And it's every 19-year-old in their clapped out Civic that comes up here and thinks they're the Stig.
Yeah.
And then, and it's like one of their events, they had 17 accidents in the first day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of what? Like 25 cars.
Well, it was a pretty big group, but it's just kind of like a free for all.
Yeah.
And then, it's a cluster. So it's the events like that that cause the extra law enforcement to be out here and for some of the locals to despise, you know, seeing these groups
all these guys in here. Yeah.
But you've got the, it's like the sports car guys and the sport bike guys, you know, or, what's called a motard, the motorcycle. It's like the dual sport.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, the dual sport motorcycles where they'll put slicks on them.
Oh.
Those are probably the fastest guys up here.
I believe that. I saw a couple of those guys ripping up like
because they take it like it's a dirt bike. As far as on the dragon, they can't keep up on some of these other roads. But because the dragon is so tight, it's like a dirt bike track.
I mean, and I saw like those guys out. Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Yes. Yeah, so they are insanely fast. So it's like they respect the sports car guys. It's always thumbs up with them, and then it's like. It's like everybody against the Harleys.
I was going to say, there were so many Harleys. I'm like, dude, just pull off.
The Harleys are, they're like the turtles up here that are always in the way, and you're always dodging them. And it's like that motorcycle was not made to take these curves. They're cruisers.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like if you take a curve, you're going to scrape the pegs. It's like me taking the M2 off road.
Yeah.
It'll probably do it. Yeah. Or you know, so like some gravel roads or something. But that's not what it's made for.
Right.
And it's gonna be really slow. It's like that the Harleys were not made for these kind of turns, you know.
I'll tell you what, I did a little off roading yesterday in my M2.
I heard.
We got a little separated at the back of group two and all of a sudden I'm like, this can't be right. There's no way Josh would have us on this shit, man. This is gnarly.
And that's where scouting, trying to learn and discover other roads.
Yeah.
When I'll look at a map and look for the squiggliest line I can, and they've pretty much all been discovered at this point because every road that I've tried to discover, there's a reason it hasn't, you know, it's because it's gravel or something, or half of it's paved and then it turns into a gravel or dirt road, something like that. You went on Needmore Road.
I need no more of that road.
No, but the name of the road literally is Needmore Road, and it's because it needs more road.
It definitely does.
Five miles of gravel on that. So
it needs more blacktop, and I need no more time on that road. Trust me.
Yeah.
So what about? I mean, do you guys get a lot of like? Are there a lot of crashes in your events?
The three that we had today, or not today, but this
just
weekend,
the event,
that's not normal.
The first guy was just being a dick, honestly.
And he kind of got what he had coming towards him. He was passing on a double yellow that we just preached about all meeting long,
yep.
past someone in our own group trying to be an idiot. And then so when he went off the road, he kind of got what he had coming to him.
Honestly, when we drove past, I felt bad for the guy. I did.
Yeah.
And then when I found out what he was doing, I was like, well, serves you right, dude.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you reap what you sow.
That's the same feeling with, you know, with the locals up here. It's like, you had that one coming.
Yeah.
But this, of all my events, I love the BMW event, but it's like it's the most handful that I have to deal with.
I can see that.
You know, just with the crowd of the BMW drivers, you know, that already have a little reputation. You know, I've been a huge BMW fan, and I've owned more BMWs than any other car.
Sure.
You know, you get some egos and some guys who think they're fast. You know, and they come up here and they try to show off.
There was a lot of like heavily modified Beamers here at this event.
Yes, and that's where, of all the events, the BMW event is almost like a tuner event, too.
You know, it's
like
I didn't expect that.
You get a lot of, you know, crazy modified cars, which is cool to see.
No doubt.
You know, see some of these cool cars. But my Porsche event has gotten into a, where a lot of those guys, they had base model cars. And then as they've got addicted to these events.
I was going to say, you fall in love with this,
man.
Thing.
Well, then they are, the next time, you know, they've got big brake kits and stuff like that the next time. Or, you know, they went from a base model Boxster and now they've got a GT3.
You see that kind of stuff with that group.
But so it's wild.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. And I can't wait till I have my Porsche to come out here and rip up the Dragon in with you, man. I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, do you want to talk about any of the other events? Smokey,
the Smoky Mountain Drives, you'll definitely have to, you know, check that out sometime. Yeah. And that's where it being.
When is that one?
It's every month.
Oh, it's every month.
Every month, March through November.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then that's where from that Smoky Mountain Drives umbrella is where I do the private events, where I do the Corvette events, the Mustang events, the you know, exotic events, all that kind of stuff will branch from that because it's open to any car. But like I was telling someone earlier, we had a couple from Sarasota, Florida that were coming up every month. Driving 10 hours because they were hooked. They loved that stuff.
If you have the time, it's so worth a 10-hour drive
here
and back.
Yeah, so those are single-day drives, but instead of coming up here to discover this area or the, you know, the drive the Dragon on your own, it's like, hey, everything's taken care of. You know, we've got we provide the walkie talkies because it's capped at 50, you know,
it makes it easier too. Our first day we brought walkie talkies and they were not linking up. And I'm like, and honestly, I didn't realize until the second day when we got new, so we went that night and got new walkie talkies that would link up with the group.
Yeah.
What a difference, man.
Oh, yes.
To actually know what's going on out there.
Crucial.
I mean, we were in the dark the first day, and thank God we were in the middle of the pack, and we didn't get separated.
Yeah.
But once we've had them, I was like, how do we get through day one without this, honestly?
So the smaller drives and the private drives, I provide walkie-talkies. Yeah. But when it's an event, you know, of 100 cars and 200 cars and stuff, it's like, hey, you bring that on your own, you know, get your own kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it makes it a lot smoother.
No doubt.
A lot safer.
Helps with that organization, you know. And I think the organization was key up here, man. I mean, honestly, like, you know, with the different grouping of the drivers and the abilities, there's no way. Like, we had talked about guys that come up on their own, you know, and especially not knowing the roads. I mean, obviously, I don't know these roads. You know, this is the first time I've been up here to drive this. But there's no way I would have driven those roads as fast as we did without having those lead cars, you know, because it's like, you know, and it's kind of a double-edged sword because you're kind of trusting the guy that's in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't see the lead car, you're still just trusting that guy that's in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know this guy. Am I just going to follow him off the cliff?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
But at the same time, you can see usually like four or five cars in front of you and you can see what's coming up, you know, most of the time. So it helps push you a little bit. It honestly, I feel like a better driver after this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. That's very, very common, especially people who come from states with boring roads, yeah. You know, the Floridas, Ohios, things like that. So yeah. I'll have people say that, hey, they learned more about their car in one day than they had in the 12 years that they've owned
right.
it. You know,
because they're just floating 75 miles an hour to work on the highway and then pulling off on a couple side streets.
Yeah. And that's where you got a huge Cars and Coffee crowd, you know, and the people who go and hang out and have the tailgate chair and come and sit with their car or whatever. But it's like here, it's like a rolling Cars and Coffee, because then we stop at the gas stop and we're all meeting there and you get to hang out like, hey, that talk about that crazy ass road you just drove on. Right. And wow, your car sounds amazing. What mods? So it's like a rolling Cars and Coffee. And then we go to these small little towns, and a lot of these towns love seeing all these cool cars coming. Yeah. And that's also cool to see, like, people pull off and their kids, you know, getting their phones out to record us going by and taking pictures.
I saw so many people recording us, you know. And I've been that kid before.
Oh, yeah, me
too. You know,
too.
I've been that kid where, you know, all these awesome cars roll into a gas station, and I'm like, man, that is the dream, dude, you know. And then, honestly, that was, like, part of what I was looking forward to a lot of this, you know, just that camaraderie, you know, and, like, the conversation, meeting all these new people that have the same interests and stuff. Yeah. Like, it was just super cool, you know. It was so cool.
Nice.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else, man. I think that I don't know. I think we could probably call it before we get
monsooned on.
Yeah, I know it's coming. Yeah,
can't control the weather.
I know.
You know, it's like the beach up here in the mountains where it's very unpredictable. Yeah. But even all these events are rain or shine.
Yeah.
No need. You know, no need to reschedule it. We drive in the rain, and you'll learn more really driving in the rain. But those days where we have like a 50% chance of rain in the forecast, those will keep a lot of the tourists and the Harleys and stuff
Harleys
off the road.
Especially.
So those are a lot of times our best drives where we make the best times because, you clear the roads out. Because if it is a perfect 0% chance of rain, 85-degree day,
it's got to be packed with bikes.
Which that's why on my multi-day events, I never do the Dragon unless we make it early pass through, like for a photo shop. But like our main trip through the Dragon is never on a Saturday, because that's when everybody and their brother comes up here. So that's why I usually try to get us away from the congested roads on the Saturday drive.
Sure.
So I got it down. Yeah. It's like, now I could do this stuff in my sleep, and I make these routes. You know, this is my fourth event this month, you know, so.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I think you're doing great things, dude.
Thanks.
Super fun to be a part of, man.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks a lot, Josh.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
All right, see you, brother.
See you, man.
Well, there you have it. Josh Vandergriff of Invading the Dragon, Smoky Mountain Drives. I can't say enough good things about him and what he's doing down there. I had a blast this past weekend. I will definitely be returning, and if you are a car person at all, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're driving, BMW, Porsche, Miatas, clapped out Hondas, doesn't matter. Go down there, link up with Josh. You will not regret it. He keeps it safe, organized, a ton of fun. The scenery, the roads, I mean, just the sheer pleasure of all of it is well worth the voyage wherever you're coming from. I cannot say enough good things about what he's doing down there. And the 129 Hub, great little spot. You will not regret it. So, thanks for joining me tonight. And I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Sixth Gear.